As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you know that fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, that support your cardiovascular, brain, nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health, as well as your inflammatory balance. My preferred fish oil brand is Vital Nutrients, offering a line of 11 ultra-pure omega-3 solutions, including soft gels, liquid, and enteric-coated options in a variety of potencies. Vital Nutrients even offers a high-performance and nutrient-dense vegan omega supplement option. Vital Nutrients' line of ultra-pure omega-3 solutions are held to the most rigorous quality standards in the industry, ensuring maximum freshness, purity, and potency. I use Vital Nutrients myself and recommend it to my patients. For more information and to order, call 888-328-9992. That's 888-328-9992. Or go to vitalnutrients.co. That's vitalnutrients.co for the Vital Nutrients line of ultra-pure omega-3 solutions. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with co-host Layla Mutin, because it's our weekly Q&A with Layla. Logically enough, yeah, she's our nutritionist in residence. And each week we do a duet responding to your questions. Questions come to questions@drhoffman.net. Can't make it any easier than that. And just a reminder that, you know, while Congress is busily addressing questions like aid to Ukraine and abortion and gun control, behind the scenes, they're working away to create new regulations about supplements. And it's our concern that those regulations will impinge on our access to supplements of our choice. That's been a consistent theme by legislators who are, you know, trying to, in the guise of safety, they want to place more onerous regulations on the supplement industry. And so we're sending out an SOS. Support our SOS campaign. Save our supplements. It's an all-hands-on-deck moment. And go to drhoffman.com/ANH to learn how you can take action. And if you feel so disposed to donate, for a limited time, I'll be matching all donations up to a total of $5,000. And good news, we haven't raised $5,000, but we're well over the threshold of $1,000 in contributions, and we're going to keep going. And I'm personally committed to matching your donations. So what's...
Yeah, a very worthy cause for our health freedom. Mm-hmm. For the future of our health freedom. So, yeah. We've got an email from Rose. I recently had the TAVR procedure on my aorta valve.
Uh-huh.
And I'd like to start using...
Let me just mention what that is. That's a unique procedure. I have a college roommate who ended up being a heart surgeon. And he, for many, many years, he did cardiovascular surgery, where literally he would crack the chest open and they would, work on the valves of the heart, or, the arteries of the heart, do bypass surgery. And lately, he says that all he's been doing, and I think he's nearing retirement, he's just mostly teaching now, is he's doing the TAVRs procedure, which is it's kind of a unique procedure where you can fix the valve of a heart by going in through an artery, usually in the leg, but perhaps even in the wrist. And it's an amazing procedure where it all gets done non-invasively, so you don't have to crack the chest. The recovery time is much less. And guess who the celebrity patient is who just had that done?
Oh, who?
Mick Jagger.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, he had some aortic valve surgery using that procedure. Now, you can't do all the valves with that procedure, but aortic valve is amenable to TAVRs. It's kind of stands for trans aortic valve something something surgery.
Trans aortic valve replacement procedure.
Okay. TAVR. Okay. Okay. Mm. Got it. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So anyway, a little background on that. So there's, for those of you who are developing aortic valve problems, which occurs later in life, sometimes you get a calcified aortic valve and then your heart has to push harder to pump, and then you can get an enlarged heart and congestive heart failure. It you can have the surgery in your 80s and 90s. It's
amazing.
I'm not saying it's not a big deal, but it's not like it is a very safe and well-tolerated procedure.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Wow. So Rose had the TAVR procedure mm-hmm. recently.
Yep.
And would like to start using chiolic aged garlic extract, mm-hmm. which she says, I'm concerned about it reacting to the warfarin
yeah.
that I take for atrial fibrillation.
Because if you have
okay
she has
to
atrial
take
fibrillation
okay. mm-hmm. and warfarin.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's true that garlic is a little bit of a blood thinner, but it's only a little bit of a blood thinner. And what since you're on warfarin, you're going to get tests every few weeks for your what's called your INR or your mm-hmm. proton. You can gradually ramp up on the chiolic. You can take maybe one twice daily and then see if it affects your INR. And if it affects your INR, the solution is not to stop the chiolic. The solution is maybe take a little less Coumadin because it's mm-hmm. beneficial to take the chiolic. And
yeah.
all you want to do is target a certain INR, which is like 1.5 to 2, I mean, maybe 2 to 3 times your normal INR. And as long as you stay in that range and you don't have an excessive INR, high INR means that you bleed more readily and you could hemorrhage. So
yes.
it's doubtful that with, you know, if you do that for a few weeks with just one or two pills, you're going to get into a hemorrhage situation. And then as you tolerate it, you can go up to a full dosage. Perhaps you're concerned about cardiovascular protection. You want to take 4 chiolic reserves at 600 milligrams each to a total of 2,400. That would be a dose that safeguards against coronary calcification.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is the fact that there was an aortic valve problem. It signals that perhaps there is a tendency towards calcification because that valve calcifies rapidly. And that could be a sign that coronary arteries are calcifying or the carotid arteries are calcifying.
Yes. Interesting. Wow. That's interesting about the TAVR procedure, Dr. Hoffman.
Yeah.
So, Rose, there you go, getting your INR checked as you would be on warfarin. Dr. Hoffman, couldn't something like chiolic aged garlic extract possibly replace warfarin? Is that even plausible?
I wouldn't do that because, and this one of the first questions that came to me, you know, when I started doing radio is like they're putting people on warfarin for one reason or another. It's like, well, can I take fish oil? Can I take ginkgo? Can I take, garlic? Can I take, any vitamin E, any of the number of things that have blood thinning effects? And the answer is, yes, they will thin the blood, but perhaps not reliably enough to prevent a blood clot or a stroke.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Well, thank heaven for modern medicine.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rose, for that question. Oh, we've got a very interesting question here from Michelle. Dr. Hoffman, I've been visiting my cardiologist annually for the past 5 years, although I've not experienced any symptoms of heart disease. I'm now 75.
So the question is why?
Why? Here's the thing.
Yeah. Why see cardiologists if you're not experiencing any,
Yeah. My latest battery test shows that I have a risk of heart disease. So I've been encouraged to start statins and get a calcium score test.
No. First of all, I don't know what that means. Like, they're almost looking for any excuse to put everybody on statins. So
yes.
I would look carefully at what that means, is that the latest tests show. What does that mean? That her cholesterol is 202? You know, or does it mean that, I don't know what that means. I mean, maybe it's legit. But here's the other thing. There is very little evidence that unless you've had really distinct heart problems, heart attack or angina, especially in women over 75, that statins do anything for extending your life.
Yeah. And they also cause diabetes, especially in
yes.
women.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I would question that. And I'm not saying don't listen to your doctor, but get a second opinion from someone who is has a little more balanced approach to statins. I would say I have a balanced approach to statins because, I mean, Layla, you know, just from the past couple of weeks, how many patients I told, I'm sorry, you really need to be on a statin, you know?
Yes, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, other patients, we say, well, what the heck are they thinking? You know, it's unnecessary.
Yeah. Now, Michelle has a history of having had an overload of radiation back in 1990 for endometrial papillary carcinoma.
Well, that's okay. So that's, I mean, it is not impossible in the old way they used to give radiation for breast cancer to damage the coronary arteries because the heart is very close to the breasts or say lung cancer or something. So there, that can occur, but, you know, endometrial is, you know, down under. Further down. So I don't know if that has anything to do with risk.
Yeah, right. Know. So Michelle wants you, could you please comment on the following in regards to the calcium score test?
Yeah.
The amount of ionized radiation patients are subject to with this kind of test, including the Cleerly test, which my cardiologist prefers. Mm-hmm. And I've heard you and one of your guests talk about last year.
Oh, great. That's great that the cardiologist embraces that test. And I'm actually getting ready to interview one of the lead scientists from Cleerly in a couple of days. So we'll post a podcast about a new way of assessing cardiovascular risk that's even more precise and accurate than calcium scanning. Because calcium scanning, one could argue, okay, well, you don't have any calcium, but maybe you have some soft plaque that's invisible to the scan. The Cleerly scan picks up soft plaque. And it also characterizes, like, say you have a score of 200. Well, somebody has a score of 200 and they'll be fine. And another person have 200 and they could have a heart attack. And it has to do not just the quantity of plaque, but the quality of the plaque. And Cleerly can discern that. There's less radiation with a dedicated EBT heart scanner, which is what we send people for in Manhattan. It's a special type of CT scan that's about 1/10, 1/8 of the radiation with a normal CT scan because they don't need that much radiation just to spot the calcium. They're not looking at, you know, all the soft tissue. They just want to look at where to see the calcium lights up. So it's less radiation than a normal CAT scan. The Cleerly test is like a CAT scan. I mean, they use a normal CAT scanner. And it's going to be more radiation. But it's a one-off. And, you know, it's not like a mammogram. You know, every year you show up and again and again and again. And so you get cumulative radiation. A one-off is not so bad. This person has a history of radiation exposure. And so every additional increment of the radiation they've been exposed to might increase their risk for radiation problems. You know, there's a slightly higher incidence of other types of cancer and people have had radiation before.
Yes.
But it's the benefits of revealing whether you have a lot of plaque to discern whether you should be on a statin.
Okay.
Which is unlikely.
Yeah.
But possible it may outweigh the downside of getting a little radiation.
But Michelle's still wondering, are there other alternative tests to the calcium score that don't give off ionizing radiation non-invasive? She states an example, which she believes she heard on your show, an echo stress test.
Well, that's not going to show the anatomy of the arteries. What you can do, you know, you can start with a duplex ultrasound of the carotid arteries because the carotid arteries are near the surface. They don't need X-rays or CAT scans to see. You can use an ultrasound, which is no radiation, and you can see if there's a lot of blockage or, you know, calcium accumulation there. And if there is, chances are that it's also there in the heart.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Michelle, thank you for your very thoughtful email. I think this may be a good time to take a break for one of our sponsors.
Indeed. Let's allow this time for one of our sponsors to share a vital message with you. So here goes. Listen up. Do you suffer from numbness, tingling, burning, or pain in your feet and legs? Well, it could be caused by a nutritional deficiency that can be reversed. Certain nutritional deficiencies can impact nerve function and are a frequent cause of numbness, tingling, burning, or pain in the feet and legs. It may also contribute to forgetfulness, loss of mental focus, fatigue, and loss of appetite. Zobria from Oshare Health provides precision nutrition to quickly restore healthy nerve function. Zobria is a proprietary formulation with high-potency bioactive ingredients that work better than simple vitamins to target nutritional deficiencies that impair nerve function. Zobria is a safe, effective, and clinically proven supplement that works with no side effects. You can get Zobria risk-free by going to Zobria.com, that's Zobria.com, and get 20% off with coupon code Hoffman at checkout. This offer is only available to Intelligent Medicine listeners. That's Zobria.com. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They are what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource for you, and we know you like that. So let's get back to questions. What's next, Layla?
We've got an email from Caroline. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I'm 72. I eat an organic vegan diet for moral reasons and exercise regularly. I'm feeling good and was surprised that my integrative doctor had concerns regarding results from the following blood test, which he did on a recent panel. One of the tests was complement C4A, where I scored 2,308, where the normal range is between 0 and 650. Can you discuss what this might signify?
Yeah. Why did this doctor do that test? I have to criticize some of my integrative colleagues because they sometimes over-test. They test for all, and like they think that by screening for every test in a book, they're going to come up with some insights into what's going on with a person. Sometimes you can, but sometimes you get a red herring like that, and then you don't know what to do with it. So actually, complement tests are mostly used to determine if people have low complement. In certain autoimmune diseases, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, you can have low complement because the complement gets consumed, and you get circulating complexes of like proteins and complement that are associated with autoimmunity. When complement is high, I usually don't see that very much, but I also don't test that much. I don't use it as a screening test at all. But what it can mean is that you might have had a recent injury or an infection, and I don't want to scare you, but it can be associated with a malignancy or cancer. And it does occur in inflammatory conditions like ulcerative colitis. So, I don't know what to do with that. And was there another test that he did that?
Yes. The other test was a melanocyte stimulating hormone, where she was in the normal range. But what is the significance of melanocyte stimulating hormone test? I've never heard of this test.
Yeah, there's a belief that these are neuropeptides. And I'm not sure what the vogue is to test for that.
I would think melanocytes have something to do with melanin and skin.
Yeah, an increase in melanocyte-stimulating hormone will cause darker skin in humans. And it also is responsible for, melasma, like that
dark spots.
Cheeks, or the darkening that women have on their abdomen sometimes during pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And, there's also, there's a synthetic MSH, which is used by integrative doctors sometimes as an injectable to enhance libido. Mm-hmm. And, so it's kind of a thing that restores your mojo. And I don't know why they're looking at it in this older vegan female, but let's comment on this is an opportunity to comment on the impact of a vegan diet on how old is the person?
72.
72. Well, I just read a review, a very even-handed review. It wasn't a diatribe against vegetarianism, but it pointed out very reasonably that it's tough to be a senior vegetarian because seniors require protein for prevention of frailty and yes. prevention of osteoporosis. Mm-hmm. And okay, so let's say you get your protein from tofu or rice and beans. Maybe she says she's a vegan, right? Or is she a vegetarian?
Yes, she's a vegan.
So she doesn't have any whey protein, which is a nope. more balanced protein. No dairy.
Yeah, at least have branched chain amino acids in it for help right. with bones and sarcopenia or anything like that.
So it's about protein quality. It's not about protein That's- amount. And protein from animal sources is pretty much a complete protein. And from eggs, it's a pretty much complete protein. And, you know, there was a Francis Moore LePay wrote a book called Diet for a Small Planet, which I read when I was in way before I went to medical school. I think it was in the 70s. And it argued that you can be a perfect vegetarian if you combine things correctly. If you get the protein Yes. that's in wheat and you combine it with the protein that's in beans, you know, or, you know, rice and beans, there's a little protein in rice, there's little complementary proteins in beans, and you have to do protein combination
Yes.
to do it right. Remember that?
Because Yeah. one or the other will be lower in lysine, Yes. one or the other will be lower in methionine. Mm-hmm. So when you do a protein combining, mm-hmm. It may be helpful in that regard. But you know what? I remember this from undergrad biochemistry. My mm-hmm. biochemistry professor tended to differ, saying there is still the concept of the limiting amino acids.
Right.
And this is where plant proteins fall short.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about the egg scoring 100 as the perfect protein,
yep.
the plant, even beef and chicken score lower than the egg, believe
yep.
it or not.
Yep.
So, but these limiting, the concept of the limiting amino acid, my best analogy for that, that I explain to patients is you've heard the phrase, a team is only as good as its weakest player.
Yes.
The plant proteins, these are weak players.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a potential problem, especially as people get older.
Yeah.
When they need double the RDA of protein.
Right. So I would say, you know, there's some potential advantages of the vegetarian diet is that it's got a ton of vegetables, and that's
yes.
real good for everybody.
Absolutely.
And it's got plenty of fiber, and that's good for the microbiome, and the polyphenols are good for everything. But you know, I'm concerned about protein. I'm also concerned about fat because where do you get the fat? You can become a little calorically insufficient. And the other problem is that as you age, you know, you just don't absorb things as well. So for example, when I was vegan, I was able to eat, you know, cracked wheat and, you know, steel cut oatmeal. And I had really good digestive force to handle that. Well, you know, when you're, especially women, but both sexes, they have declining ability to digest and absorb nutrients. And these really high fiber sources tend to be a little harder to break down and digest, frankly.
You That's know? True. And as we get older, we lose the ability to feel thirsty. A lot of people don't realize how little water they're taking in.
Mm.
And when you're taking these heroic amounts of fiber,
mm-hmm.
it will work against you if you don't drink enough water. It could be very, very binding.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And uncomfortable.
That's another
thing.
That's the paradox of people who say they're constipated, but they consume tons of fiber. And then they, yeah. because they're constipated, they consume more fiber.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And the answer is not more fiber. It may be water. It may be a probiotic, a prebiotic, or all of the above.
I will say this, though. You know, somebody who's a moral vegetarian, I mean, the scientific argument is not going to appeal to them because there's an ideology there. And, you know, that sometimes overrides, you know, concerns over the health ramifications because you're taking kind of an idealistic stand. Where you don't want to harm animals or
yeah, you Well, I'll tell you, let me confess right here. When I went back to college to become a nutrition major, I thought I would be preaching the gospel of vegetarianism when I graduated, until I learned biochemistry and the concept of these limiting amino acids and so forth. And then I realized that I was doing things the wrong way. And understand, back then, I was running a lot. I was running, you know, 3 to 6 miles a day and coming home and inhaling bowls of pasta.
Yeah.
Very easy to be that kind of a vegetarian, right? That was back before I knew anything.
And that's a common pattern in younger athletic women, and we call it FAT, female athletic triad, which is that you're putting out a tremendous amount in endurance sports and you're skimping on your nutrition, and that can result in osteoporosis, injuries, loss of menstruation, and that's a sign, you know, that you're running on fumes, basically.
Yeah. So, anyway, Caroline, thank you for that question.
Yeah. And, you know, hey, look, we work with a lot of vegetarians, and what we try to do is, I mean, if somebody says, look, I'm not going to change, I am a moral, ethical vegan, you know, we'll work with them to balance their diets.
Absolutely. I work with vegetarians and vegan clients. I don't turn them away. Absolutely not. I have to meet the patient where they are and support them. That is something I have to do.
Yeah.
So we do the best possible under those circumstances. That's what we do.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I mean, I've heard of doctors who they won't treat patients who are unvaccinated. Don't come here if you're unvaccinated, you know, because I don't want, it's like, no, you know, it's like work with the patient where they come from. And, you know, like in my career, I've treated people who are inveterate smokers. We do the best we can with them. We know that it's very deleterious, but can we do things to mitigate the harm? You know, without giving a patient a false sense of security, the doctor says it's okay for me to smoke. I said, no, I will reiterate at every visit, it's very important for you to stop smoking, to use nicotine substitutes, because nicotine is far less harmful than all the stuff that you inhale, the tars, you know, the gases, the chemicals. But, you know, we do the best we can for everyone we see.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. So- we have... expended our time allotment, but hey, it was really fun visiting with you on a holiday week, and we'll be back in the office to do this in person next week. So we encourage you to send questions to questions@drhoffman.net.
Yes. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, and enjoy the rest of your holiday week if you're going away. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.